If I forgot an announcement, forgive me. And if it was your announcement, it wasn't intentional, I promise you. I wanted to take a moment. I know a few weeks back, Pastor Charger shared some stuff about the medical missions trip, and I was not able to be here. I was actually performing a wedding actually that afternoon, which was just an amazing time of hanging out with a bunch of unchurched people that wanted to get married. I don't think church people normally get married on Sundays. They're usually busy in church, but this couple had a bunch of people out, and I got to hang out with them, and it was just a blessing. But I want to share with you some perspectives and some testimonies of what I saw in the Philippines. But I also want to, they say when you share testimony, it releases a spirit of prophecy. And this morning, I just want to just encourage you that if you're here this morning and you have sickness or pain in your body, I really believe that even during the preaching of the word, it's going to leave. And by the time you leave the building, you will be completely whole and healed and healthy. Because, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, there's a certain part. Most of us can quote the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We go through this whole thing. But it says, "Thy kingdom come. Let it be on the earth as it is in heaven." And, you know, there's no sickness in heaven. So let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So as you're sitting here and I'm sharing things, I hope that faith just rises up inside of you. And if you hear something that in your spirit you say, "Amen," which means, "Yes, I agree, let it be done," grab a hold of that for you. Don't say, "Oh, that's really cool that God healed that person over there." No. God wants to touch us this morning. I appreciate so much of the worship was just talking about that and how, "God, you're here, you're with us, and you know, your spirit be with us, and we magnify you." And it's like this thing going up and back and up and back. It's not just up. God wants to rain down and to bring provision into us. And my key verse is John 14:12, and sometimes familiar verses can just kind of get lost because we're like, "Oh yeah, I know that." Well, listen to John 14:12. "I tell you the truth." Now, this is Jesus talking. Do you think he ever lied? No. So he's not like saying, "Hey, this time I'm not kidding. The other times, you know, maybe." No. He always told the truth. So in John 14:12, I think he says that, "I tell you the truth," because he wants you to pause for a moment because he's trying to bring a point of emphasis. Do you know sometimes even as parents, you talk to your kids a whole lot and it just becomes white noise, background noise. And every now and then you're like, "Hello, hello, you need to focus on this one." I think that's what Jesus is doing. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me," say anyone. Anyone. Do you know what anyone means? It really means anyone. It doesn't mean good people. It doesn't mean extra holy people. It doesn't mean like people that are special anointing or people who went to a certain seminary or Bible college or high, whatever, what, some country. He literally means anyone who believes in me will do. Say do. Not know. Not think about it. Not study it. Not examine it. Not listen to it. He says will do. I love this. "The same works I have done." The same things. Yeah, that was Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus is telling us the truth right now. He says anyone is going to do. Not just teach what I taught. Not just know what I know. But they're going to do what I did. And even greater works. That blows me away. Because if you have any Bible knowledge, if you've sat in the Gospels at all and just kind of read through them, he did some pretty cool stuff. He did some like wow stuff. And so it goes on, he says, "Because I'm going to go and be with the Father." I think one of the funnest things in life is when the stories of the Bible walk off the pages of the Bible. And all of a sudden you're standing there thinking, this is just like it was in the Bible. I had a young person in the Philippines, and he was my translator, right? And he was a pastor's son. And it was just like at one particular point after one of the healings, he looked at me and he said, "Pastor Mike, this is just like the stuff I've been taught my whole life. This is just like the stuff in the Bible." I'm like, "Can you imagine that?" He says, "No, seriously." I said, "I know." He said, "But like, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. It's just like in the Bible." I'm like, "I know, dude." And then like a couple days later, I had a different translator. He wasn't there, and I was kind of missing him. And it was this young girl, and I'm talking to her and said, "What's your name?" And her name was Jaira. I said, "Like Jehovah Jaira?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "That's a pretty cool name." I said, "So tell me about it." She says, "Well, I'm a pastor's daughter." I'm like, "Now, that is hard." And she laughs. She goes, "Sometimes." I said, "You know, it's really cool. The last couple days, I had a young man, and he was my translator, and his dad's a pastor, too." And she goes, "I know. That's my brother." And I told him, "You don't get to have all the fun. It's my turn." So he was like helping in the kitchen get food while she was doing signs and wonders, and she was having the fun. After the trip, her father walked up to me and said, "My children will never be the same. The Bible isn't just a moral book of rules and regulations or cute Bible stories. My kids have accepted Jesus when they were young and small, but they met the Jesus of the Bible in the villages, in the streets, because he came out of the book and he revealed himself, not just the people that were being touched, but to my children." And with tears in his eyes, he said, "Thank you, Pastor." I said, "No, thank you." See, that's my joy. My joy isn't just to do the stuff. I'm so excited about taking 28 people with me to the Philippines and watching them experience the stuff. I had a young person years ago, his name was Kenny, and he said, he went on a mission trip to Brooklyn, New York, and he said, "When I left that trip, Jesus will never be the God of my parents. He's my God now. He's my Jesus." And he always believed in him, but it was just like, no, I'll never doubt who this Jesus man is ever again. Now, I want us to examine for a few minutes a few scriptures. We're just going to walk through them, and then we're going to, just so you know, we're going to activate and release all of you to do what Jesus did. And you're like, uh-oh. No, it is going to be so simple, I promise you. Because that's the thing I realized about Jesus. If you ever look at Jesus in the Bible and the stuff he did, it wasn't complicated. There was one particular night, and you know, we all have different backgrounds, and we all have different experiences and how we do church or how we've seen church done. And sometimes the way we do church scares some people, and other people, it just maybe not so much. They don't think we're intense enough. And then some people are like, "Whoa, you people are way too intense." I understand that. But in the Philippines, we're in this little, we would completely transform a school into a whole like medical clinic, where they would come in and there'd be registration and there'd be children's evangelism and adult evangelism, and then there would be where they do vitals, you know, and then there's like medical and dental triage, and then you see a doctor or a dentist. You know, I tell you, I don't like dentists. So when they asked me to come in and pray for the dental team, I said, "We have to do it really early, like before you break out all the instruments, because I will be in fear and have no faith." Seriously. And they don't fill teeth there. They just yank them out. You know, and I saw one guy had 4 teeth removed, and I'm like, he had like gauze all shoved up in there. I'm like, "Oh, dude, Lord, bless him." Bless him. But it's just like, and then after that, they would go to the pharmacy, and then after the pharmacy, there was the signs and wonders, the prayer room, and I just had the privilege of happening to be in that room for my time in the Philippines. But none of them came for prayer and healing. They didn't. In fact, I asked, "Why don't we put that tent first, and then it would make it a lot easier on the doctors. They'd have less to do." They said, "Because the people wouldn't come." they don't get to see doctors. They don't get to see dentists. They're coming to see them. And then sometimes what happened, they go through the process that, guess what? The doctor or dentist couldn't fully help them in their condition. And so almost like last resort, they would go to the prayer and healing room, and God would just do amazing things, and they would walk out. Now, the coolest thing I experienced was my roommate was one of the doctors. So every night, he would sit down and said, okay, tell me about what you saw. What happened? I said, well, I saw it. He goes, I treated that person. And then we would talk about it. He goes, oh, my gosh, do you have any idea what God would have to do physically in their bodies for that to happen? I'm like, no. Then he explained to me medically what would have to happen. I'm like, whoa, God is like really cool. I just knew the pain left. He goes, no, you have no idea what would have had to happen physically in their body for them to have that movement back. Now, we're in this little teeny room, this classroom, and there's no aircon or air conditioning, and it's really, really hot, and so it's cooking in there. And we have like 6 or 7 prayer teams and like 2 people and a translator in each team. And this is something I just want to say, and please don't be offended because it's not my intent, but we have some traditions that sometimes maybe can hinder sometimes. And I'm standing over there, right? And here's this guy there, right? And all of a sudden, these ladies get up and they put their hand on his head. And the guy had a sore elbow, right? Something wrong with his elbow. And they grab his head and he's like, in the name of Jesus! And they're shaking his head. Satan, I bind you! Come out of him now, Satan! You know, and they're like screaming and yelling. It's scaring me. And it's so loud, I can't hear. I'm trying to interview the person in front of me, find out what's wrong. And nobody is paying attention. Everybody looking over his shoulder like, man, I hope they don't come get me. You know? And the guy's elbow money got healed, but he's got neck pain now, man. It's just, you know. But, you know, it's just, you know, and it's just loud. And so at the end of the interview, you know, there was a debriefing, and one of the pastors said, so what do you think? I said, it got a little loud in there sometimes. I explained to her, and she kind of laughed. I said, yeah, that's just their way. I said, can we have 2 healing rooms? A loud one and a quiet one? And she laughed. She says, how about if we just bring it down a notch so we can all minister together? The other thing is, I would find people praying, and I'm trying to set you free, and they're like, you know, and it says in the Word of God, and they're quoting all these verses, and I'm like, you know, are you trying to convince the devil that he can't keep him sick anymore, or are you trying to talk yourself into that they're going to be healed? Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. He didn't say you had to quote the whole Bible. And so sometimes, I just want to encourage you, it's simpler than you think. You don't really have to even know any scriptures. Now, it's good to know them ahead of time so it builds up your faith. But you know, that person doesn't really care how much of the Bible you know. They're crippled and they just want to walk. And when they walk, you can explain to them maybe why. But I found there's a whole lot of people who don't understand divine healing. They don't understand the atonement. But you know what they do know? Blind see, lame walk, and deaf hear. Now, am I saying you shouldn't know that stuff? I would never say that. But I'm saying in the moment of ministry, you don't have to go through the whole syllabus on healing. Because you never see Jesus doing that. You never see him say, can I explain to you why when I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed? And then like 20-minute teaching and then pray for him. No, he just prayed for him. True? All right, so I'm trying to make this simple because I'm Pastor Mike, and that's what happens with me. It gets simple, I hope. So what did happen? Jesus laid hands on the sick and they got healed. He touched them. And sometimes he just spoke to them and didn't even touch them. And that's pretty much how Jesus did it. He either said something or he touched them. And healing occurred. All right, now, there's a story in the Bible about the centurion soldier. This particular soldier was not a Jewish believer. He would have been considered a unbelieving pagan, probably. But he was a man of authority, and he had people under him. And he had a heart, and he also, I believe, was generous to the church, and to the Jewish community and stuff like that. And he had faith. And in this particular story in the Bible, it says, he came to Jesus and he said, my servant is sick. Will you heal him? And Jesus said, come on, let's go to your house. He goes, no. That's okay. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But I'm a man who understands authority. And if I tell my servant, you go here or you go there, my servant obeys and goes here or there. So Jesus, all you have to do is say the word, because I understand you have authority. What did Jesus have authority over? Sickness, disease. He had authority over it. So this centurion understood, because of your authority, Jesus, all you have to do is say it and it'll happen. Jesus looks at this guy and he says, I have not seen this much faith in all of Israel. Of all the God followers I've ever met, I haven't seen as much faith as this guy has, and he's not supposed to have faith. I don't know if he understood faith. He understood authority. The reason I tell you that is because of this. When we pray for the sick, it's the authority of Jesus that has more authority over the sickness in your body. That's why it has to leave, because of authority. And you could be literally like the centurion, not a person of great faith, not active in the church, not, you know, born in the right house in the whole deal. But the reality is, if you understand authority, then the enemy has to let go. And that's what the centurion understood. So, all right, there's this girl, right? And she comes in, and I have my translator, which was that young man that passed her son, and I have a girl, her name was Chris, and she was from Okinawa. She was Japanese. And she had never seen anybody healed before, ever. And this girl comes in and says, I have this rash. Well, it might not sound like a big deal, but this rash was from this side all the way over to this side. All right? And so I said, well, can we pray for you? I said, yes. And so Chris said, can I place my hand on the outside of your shirt on your stomach, and can I pray for you? And she said, yes, she prayed for her. Well, then what we want to do is we want to see if Jesus had done anything yet. But there's two guys standing there, right? And we don't want to lift up her shirt. So we asked her, can you go over to the corner? And so, Chris, you guys can look and see what's happening. So they go over this corner, right? And she lifts up her shirt, and you could see Chris's eyes, you know, because she could see how just oozing and nasty and raw and red it was. But there was like this one like white spot where it was drying up. And so she turned to the translator to ask her if that was there before. And before he could ask her, he looked, and like half the stomach had turned white. She prayed again, and it was completely dried up and healed. Now, why? Because of authority. Because of authority over that rash. Now, Chris, she's like goosebumps, and she's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. I've never seen it before. I said, me neither. I have no faith for rashes. That's why I had you pray. I have young people all the time with rash problems, and they get teased at school, and my heart breaks because I'd like to pray for them to see them healed. And that's why I was just chickening out. She goes, Pastor, that was amazing. I said, I know. There's another time in the Bible, right? And it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 22, all right? It says, then this is John the Baptist, right? And Jesus is telling John's disciples to go back and tell John this. And in Luke 7, 22, it says, then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. Now, what have you seen, guys? What have you heard? That's why I'm so excited about this trip coming up, because my young people have heard. They're going to see things. What have you seen and heard? The blind see. The lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is being preached to the poor. Do you know what that testimony was? That means Jesus really is who he said he was. That was the testimony. Do you know why the blind need to see, the deaf need to hear, the lame need to walk? You know, do you know why sickness and disease needs to leave? Because it gives evidence that Jesus is who Jesus said he would be. We live in a world who doubts if there's a God. They question whether Jesus really is the Son of God, if he is the resurrected Savior. They question so much. And I think apologetics are important, but at some point you're not going to be able to argue somebody into faith with God. I have a friend at a restaurant here called Winston's, and I was telling him the story. He says, I don't believe it. I have to see it to believe it. I said, all right, Donald, then come with me. And everybody else turned around and said, yeah, Donald, I want you to shut up and go with him. And I can understand these aren't Christians, you know, and I know that word's probably not a good word, but the point is, go with them. Stop talking. Go with them. He goes, if I saw it, I'd believe it. I said, you go with me, you'll see it. Now, we get argumentative like, well, you know, faith is believing and not seeing. You know what? Okay. But Jesus was okay with showing him too, all right? He didn't just tell John's disciples, tell John to, you know, buckle up and have some faith and believe no matter even if he doesn't see anything. He says, no, it's okay. Tell him what you see. Tell him what you see. All right. So I'm sitting there, right? And it's in the afternoon, or it's in the morning. It's early. And the days were long because we'd get up early and then we'd minister. And we had to take these little, I don't know what you call, what do you call these boats we go on? What do you call them? Huh? Yeah, those things. Yeah. And, you know, and you're going by these volcanoes, you get the electricity or there's no roads and no cars. And it's just, and you set up this whole thing. So it's a long day. And I'm there one time and I found somebody who had coffee. And I'm like, oh my gosh, coffee. So I'm drinking a cup of coffee and I'm looking and there's 1,000 people in line who have been waiting for us since like 5 a.m. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be a long day. And I'm just trying to just walk around pretending I'm praying and just, you know, and just. But the reality is I'm just trying to wake up. I'm tired. It's like the third day and I'm already exhausted, right? And there's this lady and she, I forget what they call her, but she's Mama. Mama Cora. And her son is a pastor, helps his team, right? And here's Mama Cora. And there's this one little sidewalk and there's this lady in this wheelchair. All right, and I kind of caught eye contact with her, and like, I'm not going over there, but Mama Cora was there. And everybody else is lined up. They got to go down this little rocky hill, so the wheelchair's over there. Mama Cora goes, Pastor, Pastor, come here, come here. And I'm like, I can't hear you. I don't see you. She goes, Pastor, come here, come here. So I go over there, right, and I said, what? She says, pray for her. I'm like, I don't want to pray for her. I mean, seriously, I'm tired. You know, like, wait in line. Mr. Compassion, right? And she goes, no, pray for her. And I look at her son. He says, hey, for 40-some years, I've never been able to tell her no, so you better just pray for the lady, all right, because she's not going to let you go. I said, all right. So I go up behind this lady, and what had happened, she'd had a stroke 6 months earlier, so she's literally paralyzed, like, on the whole left side of her body. She hadn't walked in 6 months. I'm thinking, all right. And so then Mama Cora, she gets down on her hands and knees, and she breaks out this massage oil. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's massaging her calves and her legs and her feet. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just preparing her to walk. Once you pray, she'll walk. And she hasn't used these in a while. I'm like, okay. And she goes, all right, pray. I said, in the name of Jesus, walk. She goes, all right, now tell her to get out of the chair. Excuse me, ma'am. She says, don't say excuse me. Just say, get out of the chair. All right, ma'am, get out of the chair. She goes, okay. So she stands up and she walks down the sidewalk. She turns around, she walks back. In the meantime, her husband's freaking out. Her daughter's bawling. All these people who are waiting to see a doctor, they're crying. People are shouting. They all know this. So she does it like two times. She comes back, she says, I'm kind of tired. Can I sit back down? I'm like, yeah, that would be okay. You can sit back down, right? And I'm thinking, I didn't even want to pray for her. Then the buzz is through the entire camp. We haven't opened yet. The lame are already walking. Faith is rising. Now, why did Jesus do that? Real simple. Why does God heal? Because he can and he wants to. Because he can and he wants to. And It proves he is who he said he was. Nobody was doubting whether this Jesus dude was the real dude anymore. They know this. In these villages, everybody knows everybody. We're sitting there in this clinic and the healing room, and here comes this guy in, and he's like shuffling like this, right? And he's got this cane. And he comes over, and I'm watching, and he's in like, what happened? There'd be somebody greeting him at the door, and if you had an open seat in your prayer circle, they would bring him to you. So you never knew who you're going to get. And so, of course, he comes, you know, and you watch him, and he's like trying to sit down. And he sits down, right? And I look at him, and you do an interview process. So this is the way we pray for the sick, and this is what my young people will do in the Philippines, and this is what we're going to do today. Real simple. Hi, my name is. If you don't know, introduce yourself. And what is your sickness or what is the pain in your body? Now, we don't need a medical chart. We don't need, you know, 4 years of testimony and how it happened per se. We just need, what's wrong right now? He said, well, I have arthritis and I can't bend my legs and I'm in constant pain. And so I asked him, I said, would it be okay if I put my hands on your knees and ask Jesus to just take away all your pain? He says, yeah. So I put my hands on his knees and I say, in Jesus' name, arthritis leave, pain leave. Amen. Once again, I don't have to scream or shout and convince the devil that something good's about to happen. And I don't have to quote enough scriptures to convince me or this guy. This guy said it's okay, so he's hoping something's going to happen. And I said, now see if you can do something. And he starts moving his legs. And of course, my translator's like, I saw this guy walk in, you know? And it's just like, I said, how's it feel? He goes, oh my gosh, it feels amazing. And so the translator goes, is there still any pain? He says, just a little bit. I says, can we pray again? I said, you know, I can't make your pain go away, so obviously God is here right now doing something for you. He goes, yes, pray again. Jesus, more. Amen. Next thing you know, he's like stomping his feet like this, and he's moving his ankles and his legs. He gets up, puts a cane over his shoulder, and he starts doing laps around the prayer room. I said, can we video this? And I did video. I think I posted it on Facebook, and he's going around, right? And when he got ready to leave, he's like, thank you, thank you. And I said, anybody get this guy's name? Why would God do that? Because God loved this guy. And because he can. And he wants to. And they're like, and they're asking this question because each circle, some people were spending 25, 30, 40 minutes with one person. We were spending less than 5 minutes on difficult people, per se. And they were walking out healed. You ever hear the story of blind Bartimaeus? There's this blind guy in the Bible. And somebody must have told him that Jesus heals blind people. He can't see, but he hears the crowd. And he knows Jesus is coming down the streets. And so he starts yelling, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And I'm like, they tell him to be quiet. Shh. He's like, heck no. He starts screaming louder. And finally Jesus says, hey, bring this guy over to me. So they bring blind Bartimaeus over to him. And Jesus, this blind guy standing in front of him. And Jesus asks the most amazing question. What would you like me to do for you? I'm like, duh, he's blind. And Bartimaeus says, I'm blind, I want to see. And Jesus says, okay. We have this guy coming to the clinic, and his leg, I'm alive, you can't see it, but it's like his leg is turned side when he's literally walking like on his right ankle. And he comes into the clinic like this, right? And so he sits down. Same thing. Hi, my name is, what's your name? What would you like us to pray for? Of course, my partner's going like, duh, Pastor Mike, his leg's like sideways. And I said, you want me to pray for your leg? He goes, oh, no, 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 don't do that because I know how to walk like this. You fix that, I might not know how to walk. I can't hear. I'm completely deaf in one of my ears. So we prayed for him, and God, it popped open, he could hear. He thanked us, and he walked out. I said, you sure you don't want me to pray for the leg? No. Because I can deal with this. I got tired of not hearing. This guy comes in, and he brings these four women with him. I have no idea the story behind this man. So they're all together. So next thing, we have like five people to pray for because they came as a group. And the first lady, and this is what got my roommate so excited. The first lady, her hands were straight out like this. Literally, both hands, just like this. And I said, you know, what's wrong? She says, I have arthritis and I get shooting pains like pins and needles coming out of my fingers if I feel anything and I can't bend them. I says, well, can we pray for them? They said, yes. We prayed in the name of Jesus, pain leave, and she started going like that. Of course, everybody in our group's looking at her like, whoa. Says, still hurt us a little, so you can pray again. She goes, it feels like there's oil in them. It just doesn't hurt at all anymore. Of course, everybody's like freaking out. My roommate was like, God would have had to create a recreated all the cartilage in her joints while you were praying. He said, that's like a creative miracle. There's just no way. He literally put it all back together. My roommate's like freaking out. My roommate's like so cool. So anyways, the next lady, right? We prayed for her. God heals her. She's bawling. The next lady, all four of these women get healed. Then it comes to this guy. He's watching all these four women get healed. And I says, how can we pray for you? He says, I'm completely blind. And I'm completely blind in my right eye, I think it was. All right? And I said, so what can you see? So I can't see anything. I said, well, can I put my hands on your eyes? Can we pray? He goes, yeah. So I prayed and said, Lord, restore sight in Jesus' name. I took my hand off. He covered up his good eye, and he says, and he changed. He says, I see like flickering light. I said, could you see that before? All four women said, nope. He didn't have a chance. I said, well, can I pray again? He goes, yeah. And then he looked, and Jeremy, my translator, he's like waving at him. He says, I can see him waving to me. All right, they're all like freaking out. I said, what's his name? He says, I don't know. It's like blurry. I said, well, let me pray one more time. He goes, his name is Jeremy. By that time, his wife, the second son, she completely loses it. I mean, I've never, like, crying so hard. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I didn't want to come. They advertised this on the radio on the island. I didn't want to come. I told him, you're dumb. Doctors can't make your eyes see again. He goes, I'm tired of being blind. I want to see the doctor. So they show up, and there's 300 people in front of him. She says, let's go home. You're dumb. They can't help you. Just deal with it. You're blind. He says, I'm tired of being blind. I want to see the doctor. So they saw the doctor, and guess what? Couldn't help him. She said, let's go home. I told you. He goes, no. They say there's a place where people will pray for you, the next room. I'm going there. She goes, when will you give up? He says, when I can see. Now, I have no idea this is happening, that I've got a blind Bartimaeus that's telling, his wife is telling him to be quiet. And he's like, son of David, have mercy on me, right? And she goes, I almost talked him out of his healing. And none of us would have got healed. So you know what this blind guy says to me? Thank you. And I said, can I ask you a question? Do you normally listen to her? And everyone's like, all the time. I said, well, maybe you won't listen to her as much anymore. And his wife goes, I doubt that. Every now and then, when you pray for somebody, they're going to want it a lot more than you do. But you know who wants to heal more than you do? Or they do? Jesus does. I'm going to share one more real quick, and then we're going to pray, and you're going to get healed. because Jesus can and he wants to. This lady, she is one of the school teachers, because we'd use schools. She's one of the school teachers, and she comes in, and she sits down. We do the introduction, and I was really kind of afraid of her just courage to be pretty open about her problem. And I said, "What's your problem?" And she says, "I've had nonstop menstrual bleeding for 2 years. I have my normal cycle, but then I have bleeding every day for 2 years. Now, hey, I'm a guy, but I kind of realized that would be not good and a problem and just not cool, okay? So the first thing I sense, and this is where, do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Where Jesus was revealed that her life situation had some things going on. And so the Lord told me, ask her what happened 2 years ago. I said, what happened 2 years ago? She said, I found out my husband had another house and another wife. And I said, is that when it started? She said, yes. I says, have you forgiven him? She goes, no. He says, I believe if you forgive him, your bleeding will stop. So we led her through a time of her forgiving him, asking God to forgive him, then asking God to bless him and make him into the man that God created him to be. And she had had a lot of pain, and it all went away. Now that's cool. But let me tell you what happened next, which was so cool. For the next 3 hours, 40 to 45 different teachers, including the principal and his wife, all came into that prayer room because that lady said she met Jesus. They came in, got saved, healed, and delivered, and it completely is transforming that school because one woman, like the Samaritan woman says, and the testimony at the end, we brought them all in. We had a prayer blessing for the entire staff. And they all said, at first we believed because she said and we knew her, but now we believe because we met the Jesus that she had met. And he healed us and he forgave us and he set us free. Amen? So, I had an opportunity to preach in Makati. Pastor Nilo's church, part of Destiny. Our team will be there. And what we did was, I had three people from the medical missions. We shared a few testimonies. I shared a couple of these stories, a couple of scriptures. I said, all right, what I want you to do now is if you're sick in body, if you have any pain, any disease, any problem, I want you to stand up. And they all kind of sat there like you are now. And I said, no, seriously, unless you really enjoy your pain and your sickness, you can just stay there. But otherwise, you know, if you have the ability to stand, stand. And they stood up. I said, now, those of you that are standing next to them, what I want you to do is stand up, introduce yourself to me if you don't know them, ask them, what is your pain? Lay hands on them, tell it to leave, ask them how they are. So this is what I did, because I knew they wouldn't do this well. Because we're church people, and we just don't follow instructions well sometimes, and we allow our past. And so I said, all right, introduce yourself. I say, okay, now stop. Ask them what their problem is. Okay, stop. Lay hands on them and tell it to leave. Okay, stop. They're all looking at me. Now ask them how it feels. Okay, stop. Now those of you completely healed, sit down. You're done. They sat down. Those of you that has gotten better and you want prayer again, raise your hand. All right, they raise your hand. Pray again. All right. Say more, Lord. More. Okay, stop. Ask them how they feel. Those who are completely healed, wave your hand. Now everybody sit down. There's this one kid, and he's like sitting like right where like Pastor David's at, right? And there's this girl next to him like where Emma, and she stood up. So, but this young man didn't stand up. I said, you, stand up and pray for her. He's like, oh, thanks for calling me out, dude. So he stands up and he lays hands on her. And he did just what I said, you know, what's your name, da, 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 all right. And she raised her hand that it felt better. You should see this guy's face. So pray again. And she was completely healed. She'd had a car accident, and she was in excruciating pain for like 6 months, and it completely went away. She's happy. But I'm watching this kid, and he's like kind of freaking out. So at the end, and Pastor Nilo was actually in that little circle, right? He comes up to me and says, first time he'd ever been to the church. Not even sure if he knows Jesus. So I ask him, how would you like to receive the Jesus that just used you to heal her? He goes, that would be a really good idea. Can you imagine his testimony? Why do you believe in Jesus? Because I prayed for the sick that got healed. He proved that he was real, and now I'm a Christian. The girl was freaking out. Yeah, I brought him to church, you know, and like, I can't believe I got healed and he prayed for me. I know him. So we're going to do a couple things real quick. If you're sick in body, we're going to have you stand up. We're going to have somebody around you lay hands on you. We're going to do it just like that. We're going to watch God do some stuff. Then what's going to happen, and when God's doing what he likes to do, because he can and he wants, you're going to sit down. There's a little blue card, and you're going to write down what God did and what you're healed from. The other thing that's going to happen is there's baskets in the back, and you're going to drop those testimonies in there. What we'd really like you to do is we'll have young people in each of those corners with cell phones. They would like to record the testimony of, hey, you know what? I had this pain. They prayed. It's gone. Next. And seriously, all right? There may be another time, and your testimony sheet can write out more, all right? Now, after we fill out the testimony sheet, we're going to sit back down. We're going to take an offering because you're going to help me take 28 people to the Philippines. Amen? All right. All right, so if you're sick in body, there's any pain, any sickness, anything you have, please stand up. We want God to touch you this morning, so please stand up. I mean, don't be shy for pain to leave. Okay, so, all right, now what we want you to do is, okay, if somebody is standing up near you, all right, everybody find somebody right now and go and place your hand just on their shoulder so they know somebody's there to pray for them. Now, you stand up too next to them. All right, quickly, come on, this won't take real long. Okay, now, if you're standing up for prayer and nobody has their hand on your shoulder, wave your hand so they can find you. Everybody look around. You can move around this sanctuary. If their hands are up and waving, that means somebody, as soon as somebody puts their hand on your shoulder, put your hand down so we know. Anybody else? All right, I don't want to leave anybody out. So anybody else you need prayer, wave your hand. Nobody's praying for you. All right, now, if you don't know the person, ask them what their name is and tell them who you are. All right, stop. Shh. Stop. Shh. Okay. It's going to go fast, right? Ask them, what is your sickness or your pain? Go. All right, stop. You don't have to beg Jesus. You have his authority. Tell the sickness, tell the pain, tell it to go now in Jesus' name. Now do that. Okay, stop. I want those of you who just received prayer to try to do something you couldn't do before and see if the pain has left. And if it's completely gone, just wave your hand so I know it's completely gone. One completely gone right there. Sit down. Completely gone. You can sit down. All right, back in the back. Completely gone. Sit down. Somebody else is completely gone. All right, gentlemen in the back, you can sit down. Anybody else completely gone? All right, you can sit down. Oh, the one jumping around? Oh, it's completely gone? Oh, his pain's gone. Got it. All right, really cool. Okay, so his pain's completely gone. He's still praying for the other person, though. All right, now, listen up. If you have some increase of movement or some lessening of pain, I want you to wave your hand showing God's doing something, but it's not completely okay. Now, what I want you to do, those praying for me, I want you to pray for them one more time and say, okay, Jesus, more. Thank you for what you're doing. Do more. Okay, pray. Okay, stop. Now check and see if it's completely gone now, or let's just do this. It's 80% gone. Maybe there's a little bit left. You're 80% gone. Wave your hand. The pain's, come on, all over the room. All right. Now I want everybody to sit down, please. Okay, everybody sit down. We're going to have you do something else. Come on, sit down, please. All right. Now, those of you that were completely healed or at least 80% received your healing, I want you to stand up right now. Come on. All right. Now you can sit down. What I would like you to do is the blue forms in a moment. You can write those down. There'll be baskets in the back. The other thing, what I really like you to do, if you're willing to do it, and it would just mean a lot, because you want to know what? Your testimony will encourage other people to believe for the healing. My young people, look at me. You'll be in those two corners with your cell phones to record testimonies here in a few minutes. Amen? Now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and we're going to take an offering from the missions trip to the Philippines. One of the coolest things about the faith declaration, the scripture we shared this morning out of Corinthians, was one of the fruits of sowing your seed is you end up having a harvest of generosity in your life. I am not one of these guys who says you should sow your bread. That's dumb. God gives you stuff for your provision. That's for your provision. You don't give that away. God gives that to you to live on. But he gives you seed. He gives you resources for just moments like this. Some of you sitting here, you've had this some money set aside, and you've been saying, you know what? I'm just waiting for an opportunity to sow my seed. The seed you sow today will be sowed into 28 people going to the Philippines. Some of you say, I wish I was going. Then sow seed, and you're going. Because we're a family here. And when the family goes, we all go. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray. I want to ask God to show you what he wants you to give today. Lord, I thank you so much for doing what you can and doing what you like to do this morning. God, I thank you for healing these bodies. I thank you, God. I thank you that you just don't heal people in the Philippines. You heal people in every tongue, every tribe, every nation of the world, and even here at Harvest. God, I thank you for the privilege you're giving us to go to the Philippines. Now, Lord, speak to each of our hearts. If we are to give, show us how much we're to give, God. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this seed, that it would change the lives of those who go and the lives of the people they meet. In Jesus' name. Now I need the young people to come up, go and grab some offering bags so we can pass a bag. And as they're doing that, as they're coming up, if you got healed, could you take a moment and fill out the blue card and just give us a testimony? Come on, young people, quickly. I know you can go fast. I've seen you at my house when it's time to eat. All right. And you can just start passing the bags by. And don't forget, man, if you got a sweet tooth, there are some brownies out there still. Is there any offering bags going through the center section? Hello? There's people. Do we have more bags? Yeah, right here. All right. Now, as the bags are going by, does anybody have a question for me about what we just did? What? Oh, make it out to Harvest. Yeah. If for some reason, yeah, you can wait. Any questions for me about anything I shared or anything about healing or why God's doing what he's doing? Did somebody raise their hand? Yeah.
I didn't stand up because I don't have a physical need, but I have my daughter, my granddaughter, my
Yeah.
Psychological stuff going on.
Totally.
And so I just sat here and prayed that God would bless them to that it would cease.
Yeah. And you know what? And somebody asked me in the Philippines too, like, they're not here. Can we pray for him? He said, yeah, the centurion. I said, and by the time he got home, they met him on the road and said, hey, he's better. And he's like, when did it happen? The same time that Jesus said, go home. So yeah, you really, I mean, it's authority. It's authority. And the other thing I'm trying to say, it doesn't have to be charismatic weirdo. Now, I say that in love because I am one of us. But seriously, I have some friends that, you know, if you start screaming and yelling, it's going to freak them out. But we all bump into people all the time who need healing, and we have a God who likes to do it. And I think sometimes Jesus is like, man, I'd sure like to show up more than I can, but they don't let me.
Jesus went back to Galilee, and at a certain point, Jesus is saying, you're asking for miracles for the wrong reasons. So how does that go?
Yeah, I think sometimes we're asking for miracles, I think, maybe for selfish gain or impure hearts or whatever. I think I would err on the side of God just really loves people and he wants to heal them. And what happens in the process of their heart, that's kind of between them and God. Or even the people praying. Can you imagine if I had a really bad motive and I prayed for a crippled person and they got healed? And I get no reward for that because my heart was wrong. But that crippled person's still pretty happy because they walked. You know what I'm saying?
A wicked and evil adult generation, adulterous generation, asks a sign, and a sign will not be given. You remember that? That's the context. And Jesus was responding to people who were absolutely convinced that he was phony and not real, and would try to find anything they could to make him appear to be phony and unreal. And so they would ask him for a sign, basically the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it's out of that wicked heart that he basically responded. And sometimes, in fact, you know, I want to be careful you don't misunderstand. If you want to be healed for selfish reasons, that's not necessarily bad. But the context was, we don't believe who you say you are. And if you really are who you say you are, then do this or do that. And Jesus already had victory over that one, because the very first thing he ever faced in his life was exactly that same challenge in the wilderness, when the devil challenged him in the same manner. So be encouraged, and thanks for letting me comment.
Of course, Pastor. Hey, one more thing, just to kind of take some religion out of this maybe. I got confronted in the Philippines one time after the blind guy saw. How come you didn't share Jesus with him? I said, are you kidding me? Who healed him? He said, but you didn't share the four spiritual laws and the full gospel with them. I said, yeah, neither did Jesus to Bartimaeus. No, come on. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but don't put it into a formula, all right? You don't think if that guy really, really got healed, he didn't go home and try to figure out who is this Jesus that just touched me and healed me and I can see? And the four people he brought? There's a time, especially when in a missions field, there's 40 more people waiting to experience Jesus. It wasn't time for a doctrine class on salvation. And how do you really get saved? By fully understanding the gospel or opening your heart up to the God of the gospel. How many of you know more about Jesus now than you did when you got saved? How many understand salvation more now than when you got saved? It'll be okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love and your grace. God, we once again thank you for all of the military from the beginning of our nation who have faithfully served. Lord, we thank you that we serve a commander-in-chief, a king of kings and a lord of lords who is ruling and reigning in the heavens and one day will rule and reign on the earth. God, I thank you so much for what you did today, what you can continue to do. God, thank you for those who gave so faithfully. Lord, bless them, bless the seed. And God, I do pray that the testimonies that are written down and are recorded will be used to encourage others that the God we serve is really real. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great holiday. God bless you.